Monica and I feel like we just came from the North Pole. We left out right after Christmas and went to Pennsylvania to visit, as we call him, our adopted son, Ricky Hauser. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. It's cold up there. And it amazes to me. I've never been to Pennsylvania in my lifetime, but one end of the state's got like 8-9 feet of snow. The other end of the state is 10 below zero. Now, I was in the part of the state that was 10 below zero. But them people are running around in short sleeve shirts up there at 10 below zero. I don't know if they're used to it. I don't know if they're on medication. I don't know what the deal is. But I mean, it's cold. And I told Ricky, I said, hey, this is it. Poppy ain't coming here no more. I said, if you want to see Poppy, then you got to come to me. Because I'm froze up here. I can't move. I can't move anyway fast, so I couldn't even move at all up there. And it was just cold. But he sends his love to everybody. Put on a fabulous, he's part of a big time, I don't know really what you'd call this show, but it's something you might even see in Las Vegas or whatever, but on stage with about 20 or 25 other people who are very talented people, and put on a 2-hour show. It was fabulous. But he's doing well, he looks well. He'll be in to see us probably sometime late winter, early spring, sing for our church, and spend a week or so with us. And believe me, as I say this, he's coming here. I ain't going there no more. So I'm done with that deal. We left out, we had been gone no time, and they got 5 inches of snow. But we were fortunate. We didn't see any snow where we was at. It just, you know, it's amazing on those temperature things when you look in your car and it has a negative sign in front of it. It's time to get out and die. I'm still not warm yet. You get to be my age, Joe, you freeze all the time. But I'm telling you, you get out this year, every once in a while, something comes over me, and I get to feeling sorry for myself. Anybody ever get in that frame of mind? I don't know. I either get to thinking about, because most people that look at me don't know everything I've got wrong with me. But believe me, I got a ton wrong with me. And every once in a while, Satan just wants me to, he wants to count it out to me. Well, you got this wrong with you. You got that wrong with you. This is getting worse. I'm tired of the shoe. I'm tired of the foot. I'm tired of everywhere I go. A lot of times we went up there below zero and I had to drag out the scene with me up there so I could go up there and have a little time. I had to drag that out in the cold and everything else. And just sometimes I just get to thinking, man, it gets on my very last nerve. I was cold, I was froze, and I was in a bad mood. You ever been like that? And then I got to deal with Ricky Hauser. He just comes up and tries to be the sunshine of the world. I said, boy, just shut up. I got no time for the sunshine of the world. I'm about to freeze up here. You know? But you know, life gets hard sometimes. And if we're not in the right frame of mind, Satan can have a field day with that. Especially when we don't feel good. When we don't feel good, the whole world shouldn't feel good. Alright? Because that's really the way we feel. Well, we're going to look at 6 verses here from the Psalms. Who starts off griping. Have you ever griped about anything before? Starts off griping about how God's treated him. Starts off griping about how God doesn't listen to him. Starts off griping, but you know, you seem to bless my enemies more than you bless me. Do you ever look around at other people and say, my man, you know, them people don't do nothing. They're some of the meanest people on the planet, and everything they touch turns to gold. And everything I touch turns to toilet paper. I mean, you get in that frame of mind sometimes when it seems like, you know, the people who don't live for God, they just got it all. And those who try to do the right thing, live the right way, and try to live for the Lord, and it seems like every time you turn around, something's wrong. Am I painting a picture that sometimes we can get in that frame of mind, can't we? Well, the psalmist was the same way. Finally, He comes to his senses. Let's look at it. The Psalms what? Well, before we go there, let me just say, Brother George Buster's in the house. Lawrence has had a very tough couple of years. Pat's been there right beside him trying to help him. He's back going through radiation again. But let me tell you something. This is one tough man. He's been through hell and back, and he'd be the first to tell you. But listen, he's here in God's house tonight. He don't feel good. Probably it's cold outside. But he made it through the doors to come here tonight. George, we love you. Thank you for coming. Way of putting things, and I'll try to break it down in everyday language. How long, O God, wilt thou forget me forever? How long will I hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemies be exalted over me? In other words, everything I touch goes wrong. How long are you going to make me apologize? How long are you going to make me be sorry? How long are you going to hide your face from me? I don't feel your presence. I don't feel your love. I don't feel your hugs. I'm trying to talk to you, and I feel like I'm having a one-way conversation. God, when are you going to stop being mad at me? You get that? Make sure it comes off the page here. Make sure you understand that. How long are you going to be mad at me? Okay? Sound like some of you have been married before. You ask your wife, how long are you going to be mad? You know? I asked my wife how many times. She said, "What's according to what you've done?" You know? You don't ever know. But he's down and out. He's depressed. God's just not there. He says, "How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart all day?" All right. I'm sorry. Okay. I apologize. Okay. Do you still love me? I don't feel no love. How many times shall I have to say I'm sorry? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Now, anytime that you feel like you and God are in some type of a relationship that's not going right, again, you look at other people. Do you do that? You know you're not supposed to do that, but you know you do that. You look at other people and you say, "Hey, those people are as mean as I am. And look, there ain't nothing wrong with them. You bless them." How many times have I heard that before? Oh, these people have been blessed. And I know they sin as much as I do. You know, we get to where we judge our relationship with God with other people and their relationship with God. And what you have to understand something is your relationship with God is between you and God. You remember a conversation that Jesus had with Peter. Now, this was at right after the resurrection, and Jesus hadn't ascended yet. But he looked up and he saw to where John and Jesus was having a conversation. And he said, "You know, what about John? What about John?" Because he'd already been told things might be happening to him in the future. You know what Jesus told him? He said, "Mind your own business. Peter's got enough to worry about with Peter. You leave John to me." Sometimes I've got to understand is that I have enough keeping myself out of trouble without having to look at someone else's backyard. Believe me, I do. Okay? I got enough keeping my mouth shut. I've got enough of my own attitude. I got enough with everything else. I don't need to be looking at someone else's backyard. And anytime that we get where we are depressed, or we're angry, or we're confused, we constantly want to compare ourselves to other people. And Jesus simply is just saying, don't worry about other people. You concentrate on me. He says, how long shall my enemies be exalted over me? How long is it there? Everybody else seems to be going on with their life and doing good. How much longer is that going to happen? When can I get in here and start having a good life? All right, Larry, here we go. Consider and answer me, oh God, my God.
Yeah.
You know, I want to make sure you see this on the page. He's like, are you going to answer me, God? This is going to be a one-way conversation. Answer me. I'm talking to you. And then he's wondering why God's aggravated in him. You know, it's like me going up, tell my wife, answer me now, woman. And then I would expect later on me to go up and hug her. She'd be all lovey-dovey and kissy-kissy and all that. No, because they got a memory. See, the trouble with me is I can't remember yesterday, but Monica can remember 30 years ago. What I said, what I did, what time of day it was. God's the same way. God's got a memory. And sometimes he has to bring us down a peg or two. And when we talk to God like we're trying to get his attention, sometime or another he's going to get our attention. Look here. Answer me, oh God, my God. Light my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. I'm dying here. This guy's really depressed, isn't he? Really down on life. I'm dying here, and you don't seem to care. Do you care at all? I'm hurting. Do you care, God? Lest my enemy say, I have prevailed against him. Lest my adversaries rejoice when I am moved. It's like, I feel like I'm dying and I got a cheerleading section just waiting for me to die. People get that depressed sometimes that they think the whole world is. The whole world's just waiting for them to die. I'd just be glad when he's dead and gone, gets out of my hair. People really get to thinking like that. That's why sometimes people take their own lives and different things, because they feel like the world don't care. People don't care. Family don't care. And then they think God doesn't care. But it's a farthest thing from the truth. Because once you wake up, and once you say, Satan, get behind me, this way of thinking, because it's Satan's process of trying to separate you from God. He wants you mad at God, angry at God. So he tries to throw life at you and say, you know, look at here. If God loved you, why would you be in a mess with him? Why would you be hurting? Why would you be on dialysis? Why would you have a foot that don't work? Why would you have any? You know, if God loved you, why in the world would all that be wrong with you? Satan talk to you like that, folks. He'll get in your mind, he'll get in your head, and he'll get in your spirit. And next thing you know, you're just mad at God. And God didn't have a thing to do with it. Actually, when you really begin to think in the right frame of mind, and you get Satan behind you, you begin to think this way. You begin to think, I need to be more thankful for this machine that's beside me that I sleep with, because it's keeping me alive. I need to be thankful that I've even got a foot that hurts, because some people don't even have a foot. See, it's a different way of thinking. You know, I've had open heart surgery. Thank God for the technology for all of that. I mean, when I really stop to think of all that I've gone through and been through, you know, the only reason I'm alive today is by the grace of God and technology. But I'm alive. And I'm standing, and I'm moving. And nothing stops me from when we want to travel, we take off and we travel. Oh, it looks like, you know, Clampett's going down the highway when I pack everything I have to buy from me. But that's okay. I do what I got to do. Okay? That's what it's all about. And then your mindset begins to change. Look what happens. Okay. All right. Now, my way of thinking is starting to change a little bit. But I have trusted in thy loving kindness. My heart shall rejoice in thy salvation. I may be hurting. I may be hurting spiritually, mentally, physically, emotionally. There may be all kinds of stuff wrong with me. But one thing about it is, no one can take my salvation. And one of these days, whenever my body does finally give out, and I lay down, I'm going to a place where I'm not going to have to worry about a machine, worry about artificial limb, worry about a heart, worry about anything. That I'm going to have a whole new body simply because I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I will sing unto God because He has dealt bountifully with me. A little different attitude, isn't it? First four verses, we're talking about how life fell apart. Now all of a sudden I'm regrouped. My mind is back within the mind of God. And now I begin to think, it's not what I don't have. I need to concentrate on what I do have. And when I do that, my whole mindset has changed. Where I realize that God really truly does love me, cares for me, give me grace, give me mercy. Give me forgiveness. Gave me a home in heaven. Gave me a place where I can call on Him when I need to. And when I begin to get in my right frame of mind, I begin to understand how bountiful, how thankful, how grateful I should be to my living Lord. 2017 was a different kind of year for the Hodge family. Believe me, when your child hurts, you hurt. And when Stephanie came down with cancer in the middle of February, our whole world stopped. And we didn't know what we was facing, how long we was facing, and what was going on. And throughout most of that time was tough. And then in May, we all know the doctor gave me the wrong medicine. Now I left this world. Now, on the other side of this, Stephanie's hair is starting to grow out. She's cancer-free as we speak. And she's in one of her favorite places for Christmas. February, she could die. God's grace saved her. And now she's in Disney having a good time with her daughter. On the other hand, when I was dying, my kids went off to Florida. Hey, story real quick. I don't remember any of this, but Matthew come to relieve Monica because she was just walking through the, I'm out of my head, people. I know you guys have heard what all was going on, but I mean, I didn't know where I was at. I was good, but Matthew came in town and he relieved his mother to stay with me for the whole day. And he said I wore him completely out. I kept saying every 5 minutes I'd wake up and said, take Stephanie to Florida. He said, Dad, you got to make sure you're going to live. I said, I don't care. Take her to Florida. I guess in my mind, even though I was off, I'm thinking, you know, I want this kid to see Florida one more time or something, or Disney one more time. I said, and he said for 8 solid hours, every 5 minutes, I looked him straight in the eye and said, if you don't take her, you're going to answer to me. Now, I remember none of this conversation, none of it whatsoever. So finally, I did make a turn for the better, and they took off. They get to about Nashville, and remember this, Stephanie couldn't come see me. Because Stephanie was doing chemo at the time, and her immune system was on the bottom, so she couldn't see Daddy. So anyway, they get about Nashville. And she looked at Matthew and she said, let's go back home. She said, I'm telling you, I'm not going to go far with my daddy up there fighting for his life. And Matthew said, oh no. I wouldn't take you back here for all the... For 10 hours, I've heard his mouth said, you take Stephanie to Florida to make sure she has a good time. We're going, if he dies, he dies, we're going to Florida. I'm telling you. And she said, she just looked at him and said, let's turn around, Matthew. Go back. He said, oh, no. No, 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 no. I promised him I would take you. We're going to go, and we're going to do. You know, we never know what 2018 is going to bring for any of us. We don't know. We know one of these days, though, the trumpet's going to sound. One of these years, folks, there's going to be a congregation alive when this trumpet sounds. And the world as we know it is going to come to an end. And we're going to go to heaven. And I say this from the bottom of my heart. Let the trumpet sound. I know this group is ready to go. So whatever 2018 brings you, you understand, good, bad, or indifferent, you stand together with Jesus, and you will get through anything that comes your way.